I want to say a few things to you tonight. Maybe we'll just exhort you a little bit and turn you loose. It just depends on what the Lord lays on our heart. I have, for a number of nights, desired to go a different route. And I felt a number of nights that the Lord would have me to minister. And He's got His reasons for it. Because, like I say, my throat has not been in shape for the last number of nights to be preaching, and naturally speaking, I shouldn't be doing it. But if the Lord wants it that way, and that's what I understand, then that's the way I'll do it. And I certainly would do it any other way that He wants it, because I'm more than delighted to do it His way. Ever what He wants suits me just to the T. You know, He pleases me well. Samson one time saw a woman down in Timnath. He said, "She pleaseth me well." God pleaseth me well. I'm so pleased with God. I'm so pleased with God. If you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn over into the book of Isaiah with me to the 17th chapter, and we'll read just a little bit. I remember we're in camp meeting. I know this is Sunday, our regular service night, but this is also camp meeting. And we're still trying to do something for God now. One night here, we spoke concerning the glory of God that Ezekiel saw coming through the eastern gate. Then we came along and we spoke about the seven seals, that great book that was sealed on the backside with seven seals. And we tried to express some things concerning why it was spoken of that it was sealed on the backside. What he meant by saying that the book was sealed on the backside. And there's been a number of nights that we've tried to bring out some things, and then there's been a number of nights where we just had to stop, you know, right in the middle of a sermon, as I would say, wanting to bring out some things because the anointing was so heavy and the enlightenment was so great that it would have gone on for hours, but we just had to stop because of the weariness of the people. See, when you get into the anointing of God, the anointing of God may stay for hours, providing that the people have the right attitude toward God. And therefore, the minister has to just work with it the best that he understands, and God works with him so that the people don't get weary. I say, well, if Jesus was here, we wouldn't get weary. Well, I know of a case where Jesus was in the garden with them and they went to sleep while he was there with them. So see, Jesus is here. Not only Jesus, as we would say, that walked with them, but the resurrected Jesus, the Christ Himself, is here with us. Now, in the book of Isaiah, if you've got your Bibles, let's turn to the 65th chapter, it is the 17th verse. "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. But be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offsprings with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy, and all my holy mountains, saith the Lord." Now, you know, Isaiah really caught a vision, didn't he? Brother Isaiah was really caught up in the Spirit. Out of all the prophets, this great prophet seemed to be so tremendous in his outlook in God, so devoted to God in the things that he did. He was deeply consecrated to God, always searching, always looking, always trying to understand the will of God. He reminds me a lot of the prophet Daniel. You know, Daniel was continually searching, praying three times a day. And though they told him that he couldn't do it, it endangered his life. They said, Daniel, you can't do that. We won't let you do that. But Daniel never heeded the voice of man, but Daniel continued to pray. Regardless of what they said, Daniel prayed anyway. The Bible said Daniel prayed. Daniel prayed in the morning. Daniel prayed at the noontime. Daniel prayed in the evening. When they got up their little writings and the little local group come against Daniel, why, Daniel just passed it by and went right on praying. Isaiah was the same way. Isaiah, they couldn't stop Isaiah. He just went right on talking to God. He was the kind of person that talked with God no matter what they said. Isaiah prayed to God and sought God. And because of that, he was always seeing some great and some mighty things. Here we see, as God speaks to Isaiah, he says, Isaiah, I'm going to create a new heaven. Are you listening now? I'm going to create a new earth. And I'm going to do away with the former things. And they're not going to be remembered anymore. I'm going to utterly do away with them. You know, to me, that really rings a bell. To me, that is really something that is enlightening. You say, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? There is something that is outstanding when we talk about God creating new heavens and a new earth. Now, you say, what do you see in that? You know, it has always been my conviction that death can only exist in the mind of the past. That death cannot exist unless it has memory. It must have a mind of the past for it to exist. See, it is your yesterday that kills you. Do you understand what I'm saying? I'm sure that you don't, but maybe we can explain something tonight. See, it's the past that kills you. It's the memory of your sin. It's the memory of your transgression. It's the memory that Adam and Eve disobeyed God. It's those things that we're told about the past of evil. How that we've been overcome by Satan. How that we're in a bad, wretched circumstance because of the fall of the garden. Death lurks in the past. Death is in the memory. The memory is what causes death, and death is what causes all of our misery through life. So then God, knowing that, God looks down from heaven, and he more or less says to Isaiah, it's a discouraging day, son. It's a sad hour. It's a sad moment. All of humanity is under the crushing impacts of sin and doubt and despair. But take courage, Isaiah, because I'm going to do a new thing. Hallelujah, I'm going to do a new thing. I create new heavens, he said, and a new earth where there will be rejoicing. There won't be any woes. There won't be any sorrows. There won't be that oppressing doubt that's hanging over you, that cloud of doubt all the time. There won't be the burdens and weights of this life. But Isaiah, I create a new heaven, and I create a new earth, and I'm going to do something outstanding. I'm going to bring about a new people. I'm going to create Jerusalem rejoicing. Though Jerusalem has been one of the most trodden down cities in the world, I'm going to create Jerusalem rejoicing. Hallelujah. I'm going to turn Jerusalem into a great day of rejoicing. I'm going to do something for Jerusalem. You know, Jerusalem is a great place, and the Bible tells you and I that we ought to pray for Jerusalem. Isn't that right? A place of about 300,000, about 75,000 of them Muslims. But it's a busy, active place, Jerusalem. A little city with about a 2.5 mile wall around it. A city that is a walled city, a fenced-in city that's referred to as the Eternal City. Jerusalem. He said, I will create Jerusalem a rejoicing. She hath encountered more wars than any other city in all the world. But God said, in spite of her grief and sorrow, I will create Jerusalem a rejoicing. Pray for Jerusalem, and I will bless you if you pray for Israel. I will create Jerusalem a rejoicing. I will bring a new day for Jerusalem. No, he tells us, I will create a new heaven, and I will create a new earth. You know how wonderful it is to me tonight to know that there's going to be a new day. Oh, glory to God, how it thrills my soul to know that God has got a new day for the people. He said that Satan would wear out the saints of God, and then the saints of God would rise and take the kingdom and possess it forever and forever. Hallelujah. I believe that we're on the verge of taking the kingdom of God, that this is the moment that we're going to move in and take God's kingdom. Hallelujah. And possess it forever and ever. Hallelujah. I'm on the winning side tonight. Are you? All right. I create a new heaven. I create a new earth. Now he says to them, he said, Isaiah, when I do this great thing, he said, the former won't ever be remembered anymore, son. All of them heartaches, all of them sorrows, all of them problems. You know, you look back in the past and you say, my precious dad died. Memories of heartaches and sorrow. My little baby died. My daughter, my son, my loved one, my wife, my husband, they died. Misery, that which we work for has been taken away from us. That which we have striven for through life, a little piece of property or something that you worked together to get, all of a sudden taken away from you. Something that was precious to you. Your past is filled with memory. Your past is filled with heartaches. Many of you come up the hard way, come up in sorrow. But God said there's not going to be any remembrance of that, Isaiah. Hallelujah. There won't be any more remembrance of that. I'm going to do away with the past. I'm going to do away with the former things. And you won't have any more heartaches, and you won't have any more problems. I'm going to create a new day, a new earth. I'm going to take away the briars. I'm going to take away the thorns. I'm going to take away all of the sorrow. And we're going to have a day of rejoicing such as you have never known before. Oh, glory to God, what a day. What a day and what an hour. And to think that right at this particular time that we are approaching that moment. That is the thrilling part of it, Bill. We are right now approaching the moment of this great, wonderful thing that God said He would do. We are at this moment beginning to move into it. Isaiah said, here God speaking said, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her. There'll be no more voice of crying, he says, Isaiah. There shall be no more any of those things. No more will I hear a voice that's weeping. No more will I hear the little sick child as death grips it and starts choking the life out of it. No more will I hear the weeping of the mother as death steals that little life. I will hear it no more, no more, no more forever, Isaiah. I will do away with it. And I will create an earth to where there will be peace. Hallelujah. He said, and they shall build houses. And there shall be some carpenters. And they shall saw with the saw. And they shall hammer with the hammer. And they shall build. Hallelujah. He said, and they shall inhabit their own house. They won't build a house in some wretched government tax it, or some undermining sauce put a lien against it to take it away from you. They shall build, and my people shall inhabit. My people shall long enjoy the works of their own hand. Hallelujah. He said, and they shall plant vineyards. And when they plant their vineyards, somebody else won't come in and take their vineyards, but they will be able to enjoy their own vineyards. Oh, you know, in this life, even if you work hard, if you plant fruit trees, if you do something, if you labor, somebody's always there to grab it up. Isn't that right? Or if you work hard and you get it all fixed up, then you have to die and leave it. And so you still don't get to enjoy the fruits of it. And if you leave it to your children, somebody else comes in and takes it away from them. See, Solomon said, by wisdom I've gotten all of these things. And who knows but what I'll leave it to a fool. Now, show them there is another day. I'm glad to bring glad tidings of great joy tonight. There is born unto you this day a Savior that has saved His people from their sins. And He hath promised us a new day. There's a new enlightenment. There's a new day. There's a new hour. The people of God are fixing to experience something that they have never experienced before in their life. God is fixing to do a work in the heart of the people of the church such as He has never done before. Woe be unto them that are on the outside. The Bible said when Satan was cast out, over in the 12th chapter of the Revelation of John, where the Bible speaks of this great thing taking place, He tells them that it is a sorrowful moment, and He says, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, for Satan is among you. He goeth about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. For he knoweth that he hath but 3.5 years. He knoweth that he hath but a short time. He's aware of the fact now that he's cast out, having been personified in human flesh. He doesn't have but a short time, John says. And he said he will be very furious. He will become the Antichrist. He will personify himself. There will be a great move of trouble, a great move of problems all over the world. And he will literally devour everything that gets in his way. But I will create a new heaven. I will create a new earth. He said, and they shall build, and another shall not inhabit it. And he says here, the days of my people, he said, they shall be as the days of a tree. Now, you know this subject I like. You know, trees live a long, long time. I made the statement the other night, there's about 8 olive trees in the Garden of Gethsemane. Is that right? About 8 olive trees in the Garden of Gethsemane that they believe is contemporary with Jesus. They have lived a long time, several thousand years. They believe that these trees have lived that long. See, and when you think of a person having a lifespan such as a tree, and my people, the days of my people, the years of my people, the life of my people shall be as that of the days of a tree. My, wouldn't it be wonderful tonight to know that you was going to live for thousands of years. Wouldn't that be wonderful? And how much more wonderful will it be to know that you're going to live and live and never die? How wonderful it would be to know that during the time that you was going to do all of this living, that you was going to be young, strong, healthy, and full of wealth and power, splendor and wisdom and understanding during this entire life. Wouldn't that be wonderful? That's exactly what God has laid up for the church. But Isaiah here is catching a picture of the millennium earth coming in. See, God is speaking to Isaiah as a natural man. He's speaking to Isaiah as a prophet to a natural people. That is the Jewish people, those that are looking for a natural kingdom to come into existence. That's why I mentioned this morning, the Jews confronted Jesus. When Jesus had his confrontation, they said, where is the kingdom that the prophets promised? You say that you're the Messiah. Where is the fulfillment of Isaiah? If you be the Messiah, here a man walked the earth. A natural prophecy, we would say, coming to a natural people. See, God didn't break His promise. They said, wait a minute, if you be the Messiah, where is the fulfillment of Isaiah? I make a new heaven, Isaiah said. Our prophet said, the former things shall not be remembered. Oh, let me tell you, Jesus Christ, as they confronted Him, where is the fulfillment of the prophet that spoke to us? When He said there would be a new earth where we would build our houses, where we wouldn't be under oppression. Where is the land of our vineyards? Where is this great prophecy fulfilled? If you be the Messiah, Why is it the Roman power still have a yoke around our neck? Why is it that we're still suffering? If you be the Messiah, what is this concerning the prophecy of the great prophets? But see, Jesus didn't break His promise. God is not slight concerning His promise. God didn't change the word, did He? God didn't rearrange things. What did God do? It wasn't God that made the mistake. They made the mistake. You say, how did they do that, Brother Pike? Because they have the Scripture out of context. See, it's true that He said that He would do this. But they misunderstood the time element that was involved in it. I will do this, He said. But see, we use that old saying that they get the cart before the horse. When they come over there, they have the cart before the horse. See, it wasn't time for the fulfillment of that Scripture. That Scripture yet was to come after the tribulation period when God brings in the millennium. After the tribulation period when God restores the earth and brings in 1,000 years of peace and then converts it right on over into the great eternities, right into the celestial world after the 1,000 years regime. I've not changed my word, Jesus could have said. But He said, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. You don't understand. Oh, but they said, we are Bible scholars. We are great Bible scholars. How is it that you can tell us we don't understand? Here you are, born to bastard child. And you teach us. Who do you think you are? But Jesus said, you do err not knowing the Scriptures. And they were all embarrassed. And they were all furious. Because He stood there and told them that they were wrong. But when the beautiful words of God begin to flow, when the words of life begin to come forth, they knew that Christ was in their midst. They could not withstand the wisdom by which He spake. They knew the Son of God was there. And they said, never man spake like this man. His words, never have there been words like these words. They'd send another group over and they'd tell this group what they had to do to Jesus. It wouldn't be long before they'd be confounded and they'd come back with a report. And they would say, you're not deceived either. Oh my, you're not deceived too. Why have you fallen into the same thing that these others have? Oh, they said, but you got to go hear this man. Why never man spake like this man? Never. After we've heard Him, we can't take your outlook in the matter. See, Jesus could have said, you've got it out of context. See, He didn't break the Scripture. It was just the hour for the coming of the Gentile church. It was the hour of the fulfillment of the spiritual kingdom of God. It was the hour of the kingdom of God to come in. God is a spirit. It was the time of the Christ is redeemed. It was the time that God would be in the veil as the Spirit. Look at the Old Testament. It is a true fact that Aaron, the high priest, there, he officiated, going into the holies of holies once a year for the atonement. He went into the holies of holies by taking the blood from over the altar, the body of those beasts burned without the gates, taking that blood, going into the presence of God, in the holies of holies. There he went once a year, the Day of Atonement. On the Day of Atonement, he would go into that particular place, going in to take the blood to pacify the wrath of God. The 10th day of the 7th month, something would take place. It was a special time. But look at the days of Jesus. When Paul got the revelation, he said, he hath not entered into this place with the blood of bulls and goats, which could never make the come of Aaron too perfect. But after laying down his own precious life, He hath entered in behind the veil with his own blood as a lamb without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And he entered in Christ Jesus, resurrected from the dead. The bowels of the earth groan and travail. The rocks rend in twain. And the earth belched forth the Son of God. And he came out of the power of the resurrection. Stood there. Aaron, the high priest, ready to go into the holy place. Go in behind the veil. Moving into that great place where human eyes could not get to. Christ behind the veil. Christ in behind the badger skin. Christ appeared to them in another form. They said, our hearts burn within us as he talked to us along the way to Emmaus. Christ in behind the veil. Jesus could have said, you've got it out of context, fellas. It isn't time for that. This is the time of the high priest. I go away, but I'll come back, he said. To them that look for me, I will appear the second time without sin unto salvation. I will come back. If you're watching, I will come back. Enter in behind the veil. I must enter into your heart. This is the day of the priesthood. This is the day of my work, officiating as the priest behind the veil. As Christ, I must go into the heart, into the holies of holies, into the sacred place, into the place of life where not even a germ can stay. I must go in there. I, the Christ, must enter in behind the veil. I must get into your life, for the life is in the Spirit, in the Spirit, in the blood. I must get in there. I must do something. I must officiate. I as the high priest. My kingdom is not of this world. Neither does it come by observation. But he said, my kingdom is within you. The kingdom of God is at hand, my beloved friend. Oh, how beautiful. And the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God has been preached. And men pressed their way into the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, officiating, having rent the veil in two. That is to say, offered up his flesh. Today, the veil is rent. And I say again, having made in himself, the writer said, both Lord and Christ, Jesus and Christ, Lord and Christ, made within himself twain, the writer said in the book of Acts. For he hath made in himself twain, both Lord and Christ. But when he hanged that Calvary, the Bible said he rent the veil in twain. He rent the veil in two. He separated the Lord from the Christ. He rent him in two. He laid the Lord down. Oh, he took away the life. He separated the body from the spirit. The Word of God is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of the heart. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the dividing asunder of the soul from the spirit and the marrow from the bone, going down to the thoughts and intents of the heart. Tonight, if we stand here with the Word, we stand here with the mind of God, we stand here with the Spirit, the Word will penetrate your life. The Word, the mind of Christ, the Spirit of God will penetrate your heart. It will go down inside and reveal your thoughts. It will reveal the intents of your heart. It goes down to the dividing asunder of separating the Spirit from the soul. For the Bible said the body without the Spirit is dead. And to death, the Spirit goeth back to God who gave it. The veil is rent in twain. Today I say again, you and I, by the Calvary, we reckon ourselves to be dead to sin by the body of Jesus. Today God has rent our veil in twain. He has separated the inner man from the outer man, the lie from the body. He hath counted the body dead by the body of the Son of God. He hath buried it in baptism in His name. And today He won't look at my body. Today He won't look at your body. Today He only looks at that sanctified life, that spiritual life, that purged life, that soul on the inside that's been purged, that's been spiritually cleansed by the blood of the Son of God. Oh, if we could see it, as Nicodemus stood there and he said, Nicodemus, art thou a ruler of the Jews? Art thou great, great leader? And don't know these things. For he said, no man has ascended up into heaven. No man but me, Nicodemus. That's the way he could have said it. But he said, no man has ascended up into heaven except the Son of Man who came down from heaven. Then he said, Nicodemus, who is in heaven? Oh, look at that. Listen at those words. Oh, my, listen at those words. As Jesus the Christ stands there. And he said, Nicodemus, look at me. Look at me, Nicodemus. I am in heaven. You talk about going to heaven. You talk about holding on. You talk about being translated. But I'm glad God said in His Word that I have translated you into the marvelous kingdom of your God. Those that have believed, separating the inner man from the outer man, the old outer man dead, buried in a watery grave. Paul said, he's dead, it's no more him that liveth. He's dead, he's gone, he's buried. No more that he liveth. Then who is it, Paul? It's Christ in the midst of the candlesticks. Yes, hallelujah. The midst of the church ages. It is no more I that liveth, Paul said. The life I now live, I live by the Son of God. For they that belong to Christ or to God, they have crucified the flesh with the lust and the affections thereof. Let me go just a little farther. What are you trying to say, Brother Pike? This is a great day. Oh, this is a great day. What a time, what a moment. A great day. Look at it for just a minute. What did Jesus do at Calvary? What did He do? He rent the veil in twain. Brother Taylor sang that song. He rent the veil in two. Oh, He is the Lord of lords. Since He rent the veil in two. What do you mean, Brother Pike, rent the veil in two? What happened to me when I become a Christian? Oh, there's more to it than joining the church. There's more to it than belonging to some little local assembly. There's more to it than getting your names on the books. Getting a golden star for being in Sunday school. Get away from your childish doings. Get in God. Get in Christ. There's more to it than these foolish, frivolous things that the church world is doing today. What hath He done? Oh, Paul looking back to Abraham. He said, oh my, what has our fathers found? What has our father Abraham discovered, Paul said. When he got into this great revelation and he began to see what was going on, he said, what has Abraham discovered? What is this great thing that's pertaining to faith? Oh, beloved friend, it is great. It is no wonder that Paul said, great is the mystery of godliness. Somebody said this little old simple salvation, this little old simple preaching, anybody can be a preacher. I beg your humble pardon. My Bible says, great is the mystery of godliness. And God has made me a steward to those mysteries. Whereas it's given unto the church to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. It's given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. The veil has been rent in twain. It's been rent in twain. What has Jesus done? There, He rent the veil in two. What did He do? He separated the Lord from the Christ. Now look at it for just a moment. Look, when Calvary took place, what happened? looking away off up into the heavens. All of a sudden, there went a great veil over the sun. There went a great veil over the sun. What was it? Why was the sun veiled? Why was that darkness come over the sun like a sackcloth of hair? Why was that? Because the sun has to do with God, the Spirit, the great light. Never had there been anything over that. But at the fall in the garden, when Adam and Eve went through the expulsion, there, when the veil, the mind of Satan, come over the life that God had breathed into Adam, there was a veil of death. There was a veil that dropped over, as we would say, the Shekinah glory of that life. And there man walked under the veil of that death. Under the veil of it. Then down at Calvary, to show what had happened, Jesus coming along as Adam did. When he hung there, he'd never done anything wrong. Why did the veil come over the sun? Why was that? Because Jesus was God. Jesus was God. He was God manifested in the flesh. The Word made flesh. And that great sunlight had never known a veil. Nothing could veil that sun as hot as it is. Nothing could veil it. 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit on the outside. Nothing could veil it. A little better than 270 will melt steel. Nothing could veil it. And there it was. There it was veiled. What was it? Jesus had been made sin. He that knew no sin had yielded up his tender hands. And God, who dwelt in that body that radiated in the brightness of his glory from that body, all of a sudden had submitted for your sake and my sake to let the veil of sin drop over him. Oh, it dropped over the Son of God. And his body was made sin. He that knew no sin was made your sin and my sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. And the sun veiled itself. And it wouldn't shine anymore. It wouldn't shine anymore. And the earth trembled. And the rocks rent in twain, because the veil had to be broke. The nucleus had to be discovered. The power had to be seen. The kingdom of God had to come forth. John saw the revelation of the rending of the veil, the separation of what they saw in the natural there on the earth, as that tabernacle that Moses had made in them that was looking in the natural. They saw that veil hanging there over that little 10 by 10. That place of the holies of holies, and they saw it rend in two. And they knew something had taken place. No longer did Aaron alone have to go in there. But oh, beloved, today you and I and everyone that believeth can go into the presence of God. That's why we have the days of grace. That's why today that Satan can get away with the thing that he gets away with. It's the days of grace. In the days of grace of the rent veil, God has to provide healing medicines. God has to provide food. God has to provide comforts. God has to provide convenience, even for those that are filled with the devil. For I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, the Lord said. And he has to provide, because the veil is rent in twain, and they've come into the presence of it. America has to do with the third world. The first one going through Jerusalem. The first one being the Jew. And that power that they set up in Canaan. And then the next one, 975 B.C. when it fell into Babylon. And that great monster of the Roman powers began to envelop the world. And then that third kingdom. Hallelujah. Columbus 1492. When Columbus sailed the ocean blue. Hallelujah. And when the new world was discovered, hallelujah. And over there in 1753, when they rang that liberty bell, hallelujah. Glory to God. And they said a new world, a new order's come in. the third heaven, the third place, giving us a type, giving us a shadow, letting us know that as long as the blood is on the mercy seat, we can enter in, beloved, behind the veil. We can get into the holies of holies. The veil is rent in twain. John said, I saw the heavens roll back. And I looked and there was lightnings. And there was thunderings. The Bible said the earth quaked and the rocks were rent in twain. He said, and nobody could enter into the temple. And I saw it. God's wrath being poured out. Nobody could enter into the temple. And I saw the veil rent in twain. I saw the heavens roll back as a scroll. Jesus separated from the Christ. I saw the Lord separated from the Christ. I saw the body die so that George Pike wouldn't live anymore as George Pike. But that the inner life of George Pike could be born into the kingdom of God and translated into the kingdom of God by faith. That his outer man could say, I'm bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That it's not I that liveth, but Christ that liveth within me. And the life I live for the Son of God. Paul said, and it pleased God who from my mother's womb chose to reveal his Son Christ in me. He received me as the Lord himself. You would have plucked out your eyes for me. Where is that loyalty, Paul said? What has happened to it? Will you give me just a few more minutes? The veil rent. Aaron, inside the holies of holies by his own blood, once and for all, offering up an atonement for sin. Once and for all. Oh, let me say this again. I've said it so many times. But remember, when Aaron went behind that veil, hallelujah, I wish we had time to preach. I always, when I get to this point, and he turns on the floodlights of glory, then I wish I had time to preach. That's why old Brother Paul took all night long. But anyway, when Aaron went in behind that veil, when he got in there, remember, there was one thing that the people did. They stood there almost tense. They stood there almost trembling. No doubt one was saying with another, I hope he'll hurry. Do you think something's wrong? See, because God told them that if Aaron tarried long behind that veil, then the wrath would be upon the people. But if he returned early, if he returned quick, everything was all right. Aaron would go in there. He would pass that little golden altar. He would reach over in that little golden altar right there at the door of the holies of holies, pick up those little coals, those little burning coals. He would take that perfume that nobody could make any like. God said, if any man in this camp makes any perfume like that, I will cut him off. You can't practice spiritualism. You can't be a hypocrite. You can't practice being godly and take strange fire into God's courts. God smote down Aaron's own sons, the Levites, because of that. He reached up, he got them coals. He took that little censer. He, there with the blood atonement, he took that little bottle of perfume. He took them in there and he stood before the Ark of the Covenant with the covering cherubs. And when he stood there, he would drop those little coals into it. When those little coals went into that beautiful smelling aroma, a great cloud would billow up. The Holy Ghost, the great spiritual significance of the sweet aroma. Well, the Bible says, when the rainbow appeared over the new earth and the great ark of Noah was settled, God established then the next covenant with mankind. And he said, there came up a sweet smelling savor from the earth. And he said, I will no more destroy the earth for man's sake. I will no more curse the earth for man's sake. Oh, friend, can't you see what Isaiah was saying? I create new heavens and a new earth. Hallelujah. Today, I'm a new man on the inside. My spiritual being inwardly is new. He redeemed my outer man. and from this man that lives bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. It's a new earth tonight. And it's in his presence. It comes up a sweet smelling savor of Jesus. And he smiles and he sees the fruits of the Spirit unto holiness. And he says, I will no more curse the earth for man's sake. All that natural earth was cursed with them briars. Natural earth was cursed with them briars. That spiritual earth was cursed with devils and demons. That physical earth was cursed with all kind of afflictions, all kind of problems, all kind of sicknesses, all kind of diseases, life and tangle. But he said, I've done away with it now. I've done away with it now. Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Oh, children of God, this is not a fairy tale tonight. This is not some story tonight. This is not some movie tonight. This is God's Word tonight. He's done it for you and for me. Hallelujah. The veil is rent in twain. My inner man has been translated into the kingdom of the living God. I am alive forevermore to die never again. Hallelujah. He tasted death for every man, as I said this morning. Here we are. The veil rent in twain. The Jesus part which has made sin me. You dead, gone forevermore. But now it's Jesus living. The resurrected Jesus. In that Paul said in his writings, in his revelations, we was married to one. But at death the woman is free from her husband to be married to another. For she is no longer bound by the laws of her husband to him that is dead. So then if he be dead, Adam, to whom I was married to as the fleshly man through birth, in that Eve is the mother of all living. If I was subject to law and subject to transgression because of the weakness of my flesh, my brother, my sister, I was under the curse. But when Jesus hung upon a tree and he become a curse for me, that ended it. Today I'm free from it. I'm not under the curse. He said, that which is old, the law is ready to be folded up. The body of Jesus folded up, laid away. And then comes the Christ. For he was delivered in a body for my transgressions and my offenses. But he was raised again, the spiritual quickening spirit, as my justification. For my justification, my offenses are gone. We sang the song, my sins are gone. Oh, they're gone. They're underneath the blood on the cross of Calvary. They're as far removed as darkness is from dawn. In the sea of God's forgetfulness, that's good enough for me. Praise God, my sins are gone. Tonight the veil is rent in twain. It's gone. The old man is buried. He's forever gone. I'm free. Isaiah, hold on, son. There's coming a day when there'll be no more weeping. There'll be no more crying. When shall this day be? When shall this day be? It dawned at Calvary. It dawned at Calvary. And to you that can believe, you can enjoy it today. But oh, beloved friend, we're just around the corner of the tribulation. When you and I will ease out of here. Oh, if you can recognize, if you can see, if you can believe, Jesus said all things are possible to them that believe. And we're on the verge of slipping out of here. Hallelujah. So then, shortly after this little spell of government, that's called Antichrist, the tribulation, then the earth will blossom as a rose. All of a sudden, the beauty of earth will be seen as it was in the garden. Won't it be a beautiful thing when you walk down the streets of that glorious Eden of God and you can smell the beauty of the honeysuckles, smell the aroma of the honeysuckles and the roses and the lilies in the valley. No, just feeling all of the air and the birds, 100,000 different species, singing their beauty, a beautiful song that they sang, and the lions strolling along, not drab looking, not the hair not all dry and the oil used up, but walking young and briskly. Hallelujah, walking around like a lamb. Glory to God, and a little child hanging on to the mange of it over there, and him pulling him along, and he crawling up on the top of him, playing around with him. Glory to God, what a day that will be. What a day that shall be when my Savior I shall see. When I look upon His face, the world has saved me by His grace. When I take Him by the hand and He leads me to that promised land, what a day, what a glorious day that will be. I want you to stand with me. I wish we had time to preach tonight. I thank you for your kind attention, for bearing with us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel that new heaven, don't you? Glory to God. I feel that new heaven. I feel it, Brother Walker. Woo, just thank who you are tonight, children of God. Thank who you are that it's over, that it's finished, that you made it. You made it. Oh, yes, you made it. You say, Brother Pike, are you sure? I'm sure that I'm sure that I'm sure tonight. You made it. You made it. Glory to God. That's why we ought to rejoice forevermore. That's why we ought to be happy. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For God hath translated us into the marvelous kingdom of our God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's sing a little chorus together. I appreciate you for your kind attention tonight. And I trust that with my feebleness, stumblings and staggerings, that I don't weary you. Because I want to help you. I want to tell you about the great things of God. It's in my heart. My heart is enlarged to you. How wonderful it is. It's no wonder the writer said, joy unspeakable. Brother Pike, it's joy unspeakable. There ain't no words to express it. It's so great in joy. And it's just full of glory. But you say, Brother Pike, the church hasn't had this glory. It hasn't had this joy, but it's because you haven't understood. It's there. It's given to you. It's yours. You just haven't understood. You haven't claimed your inheritance. You haven't moved in. You say, but what do I have to do to claim my inheritance? Just believe what God said about it. What can you do? He's already done it. All you do is believe it. Isn't that right? What is a preacher for? Oh, you say, well, that preacher is to get me straight and make me live right. That preacher ain't for that. Paul said, we are helpers of your faith. We wish this, even the perfecting of your faith. We preach the word that God promised you. You believe it. The more we preach it, the more you understand, the more you believe it, the more perfect you become in your believing in what we preach. That's perfecting your faith. The more you believe in what I tell you about your future, the more you believe in what I tell you and express to you, the more you believe in what the minister explains to you about your greatness in God and your inheritance, that is your faith. And it was imputed unto them as righteousness. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. So then you just get God's Spirit by believing in His finished work, which is expressed through His ministry by the word of faith. Thus it seals your spirit and breaks out into redemption in your body from genetic to genetic, from glory to glory, and from faith to faith, having your spirit of holiness in you and your fruits unto holiness and the end thereof eternal life. All in His name. All in His name. Hallelujah. You know, I don't know of any song that would be more appropriate to sing at this time than Amazing Grace, How Sweet the Sound That Saved a Wretch Like Me. Let's sing that song, can't we? Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. Can't you see tonight? Oh, hallelujah! Can you see tonight? Having the eyes of your understanding enlightened to be able to comprehend the heights, the depths and the widths. While we're singing this tonight, let's gather around the altar for just a few minutes. Can you, Christian friend? Hallelujah. It was the hour that I first believed. Can you sing it with me? When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. Don't you love Him tonight? Praise God. Praise God. Can you lift your hands and praise God tonight? Praise God. Praise God.